Hello, welcome to the latest installment of No Soap Radio, The Sex, starring Stephanie Russell and Melanie Gale.
What do you have?
I think I'll take it to the wine. What about you?
What will you ladies have tonight? What can I get you?
I'll have a half liter of your house white, please.
I think I'll just have a pint of wheat. No lemon, please.
Today has been a long one. Although the week has whipped by, huh?
Like the wind, I guess.
Yeah. My legs were exposed to everyone in the smoking section earlier. They all wanted to ask me about it. I could tell they all wondered why a woman would wear a skirt on such a cold day.
Was it their eyes that said that, or was it their hands?
No, their eyes.
I had a man come into my work today. He wanted to have sex with me.
Eyes?
Yes.
How old was he?
He must have been about mid-50s, I guess.
Huh, really? What'd you give him?
All that I could.
Let me guess, you gave him the mental blowjob.
No, I just gave him a pat on the hand.
Mentally?
Yeah.
Poor man.
I know.
Do you ladies want anything to eat?
No,
fine,
I think we're okay.
You.
So where did you end up last night?
I don't want to talk about it.
Why is that?
Because all in all, the man didn't really know what to say. I mean, I opened a huge can on him. I leaked all over his face, anal leakage style. I mean, I said, I think I have the plague because no man really wants to come near my thighs. No man really wants to tread on my delicate waters.
And what did he say?
What could he?
Well, yes. The communication is always...
disjointed.
Oh, I love this song. I fell in love with you the first time I looked into them their eyes. And you have a certain little cute way of flirting with them their eyes. Well, so then what happened with this man?
Well, I think I damaged him like a thrown cantaloupe.
Oh, yes, the cantaloupe. So much like the brain. Exposed, soft. Under the cover of a skull.
Right, exactly. Anyway, he opened up in a big way. He started to talk about his brother and how he was addicted to Vicodin because he got his stomach stapled a few years ago and he started to take it. And how his mother stashed food around the house and how he was tired of throwing out old broccoli and how his dad got a motorbike and never rode it.
Never?
No. Apparently, his father bought this motorbike a few years ago. You know the kind with the long base and the small wheel in the front and the huge one in the back? You know, like the one an Easy Rider has.
Peter Fonda.
Yeah. Anyway, he bought it. And he painted it, and worked on it, and still does, but he never rides it.
Why?
I think because he doesn't want to wreck it. Just like those crazy women in the 50s with the plastic covers on their couches.
That's screwed up.
I know.
But?
Yeah. Anyway, we just talked in metaphors. He talked about how his mother was like an old raccoon carcass that no one wanted to pick up off the highway because it was so mangled. And I made a metaphor about how I just wanted penis and arms.
Oh, like I'm too friendly with my body pillow?
No, more like if the world is a sea full of fish... I'm the net that everyone either avoids or gets trapped in.
Ew. Well, I guess it could be worse.
Yes, it was worse. He exploded in my arms last night. I thought my thighs might crush him. I stopped thinking about my eyebrows. I started thinking about my groceries for tomorrow, and he just exploded. He trickled into a little ball and exploded like a smothered grenade. And he wept like this. Why did you? Why can't I? How can I do it?
And did you tell him to get a grip?
All I could do was watch him. It was all I could do not to throw up. But at one time, I wanted to cut the tension. So I turned to him and said, why don't we hang ourselves? Hope we can get the cue.
As in with what?
You haven't got a bit of rope?
Nope.
Then we can't. Yes, and well, we did. On the floor.
Really?
Yes, and in the morning he left, and it was as if the tears were never there. But I could see the balled-up Kleenex on the floor behind him and the snot stains on his sleeves.
So he's leading a double life?
I don't know.
Well, yes. I remember one time I heard a man making fun of my orgasm with some of his friends. I heard him mimic my tones, my words, and my body jerks. And his buddies laughed. And I walked around the corner and surprised them all. I went right up to the one I had sex with, the one with the beautiful black hair. Oh, God, was his hair beautiful. And stood there, and took my hands and put them on his chest and pretended like he had boobs, you see. And I pretended to knead them like dough, like men always do. And said as loud and as excited and dramatic as possible right there, oh, mommy, oh, mom, I'm coming, dear, oh, yes, go! I was done, I had found that I collapsed to the floor and sprawled there, looking up at these men staring down at me with wide eyes, one with his hand in his pocket. And I stood up, dusted myself off, and walked out.
That'll do it.
Nothing like public displays of disgruntledness.
Hear, hear.
Tweedledum and tweedledee. They're throwing knives into the tree.
This concludes The Sex, written by Kim Bosch and produced by Jen Moore at CFRU 93.3 FM. Music featured Poor Boy by Nick Drake, Them There Are Eyes by Billie Holiday, and Tweedledum and Tweedledee by Bob Dylan. Tune in again for the next episode of No Soap Radio on CFRU 93.3 FM. Thanks for listening.
They pass by so silently. Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Hi, and welcome to the latest installment of No Soap Radio. This is not based on a true story. Starring Sarah Chamberlain as Daniela and Matt Spearglass as Gary Mattress, Peter Hoffman as Timmy, Nicholas Malis as John, Lauren Stein as Mrs. Jones, and featuring Rochelle Kelly as Principal Wendy McKay.
I'm sorry we have to meet like this.
It's okay, Gary, really, I understand.
I just wish we could be out in the open.
But you could get fired.
I know. Sometimes I wonder if it would be worth it. I don't know if I'd rather run off with you than sit with those kids all day.
But think of all you'd miss out on. The play is going to be so great.
Yeah. Do you think they suspect?
No, of course not. They have no idea.
I mean, I took great care to give a part as large as yours in the school production to a student I hate, so no one will think I play favorites.
Brilliant idea, Gary. I don't know how you keep coming up with them.
Well, they didn't call me Drama Teacher of the Year for nothing.
Certainly not. They did it mostly because you're the only drama teacher.
Exactly. You wouldn't believe what happened this weekend. I mean, what I did. For us.
Go on.
Hey, Mr. Mattress.
Hi, Mr. M.
Hi, John.
Funny seeing the two of you here again.
What are you doing here?
We were working on the science project, and we figured out we'd stop by for some juice.
Not practicing for the play, I hope.
No, we came here separately. We just happened to run into each other.
Good. Because you get so much extra rehearsal time, I'm afraid nobody else will end up looking as good as you in the play.
No, it's not that I'm giving her extra rehearsing. I mean, I am, but it's not so she'll look better than you. It's because she's really bad at acting. I mean, she needs more time to get the part right, to memorize her lines. Oh, you know what I mean.
Yes, Mr. Mattress, we do.
I wanted to ask you something, Mr. M, about the play.
Oh, sure, Timmy, go ahead. What is it?
Well, it's just my part. I'm really thankful for it and everything. It's just that it's not so big.
You don't get as much screen time, Timmy, but your role is vital to the play, I guarantee you.
Really?
Sure, the town couldn't function without you. What you do when you're on stage basically turns the whole story around.
Well, I guess so. I was just afraid.
Don't be. I cast you as Tom for a reason. I need a really good actor to deliver those lines the right way.
Really? I mean, nobody else could read those lines just like me.
Exactly.
Am I the only one not in the play?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we were just on our way to buying stuff, and I think we'll go do that now.
Bye-bye, boys.
Bye, Mr. M.
Alone at last.
I swear, Daniela, every time I see students in public.
Don't worry about it. Just appreciate the time we have now.
I do appreciate our time together. All my stress and the bad vibes I get from that student I hate simply melt away the moment I'm in your presence.
Mr. Mattress, you are certainly a charmer.
You know, I finally did it.
Did what?
Broke up with Adrian.
Oh.
Aren't you glad?
I don't know what to say.
I told you I would. She took it pretty badly, of course. I didn't even know what to say. I didn't think I could go through with it. I mean, I was sick of lying to her. I could lie to everyone else, of course, but I'd rather just be with you.
I don't know what to say, Gary. Listen, there's something I need to tell you.
Gary, funny seeing you here.
Wendy, hi.
Oh, hi, Principal McKay.
Hello, Daniela. What are you doing here?
I was eating lunch with Timmy, John, and Kyle, and we ran into Mr. Mattress, so we joined him. They had to work on their science project, but I've already finished mine.
Oh, well, it's so nice to see students and teachers getting along so well.
Yeah, yes, it is.
You know, Gary, I must be honest. Before you came to Mountain Prep, most students were terrified of their teachers, but you've really found a way to reach out to them. They really like you. I don't know what it is about you, but you just have this spark that students respond to.
Well, I don't know what to say.
You've inspired me. From now on, I'm going to hire a lot more teachers right out of teachers' college. It's so refreshing for the students.
Oh, of course, for the students. Well, I could have told you that a long time ago. Hire more young teachers. I mean, good idea, Wendy. Thanks.
Well, I must get going, but I'm glad we got to chat. Thank you.
You wanted to tell me something?
Yes, Gary, but I don't think it's something that you want to hear.
I'm ready for anything, as long as you're there by my side.
Well, that's precisely what it's about. Look, I'm just gonna say it. I got into McGill.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Gary, but I really want to go.
I see.
But we still have until the end of the year.
Yeah.
And there's still the play.
I know.
And the summer.
The summer.
I'm sorry, Gary, I never meant to hurt you. I just don't want things to get out of hand.
Hand?
Are you okay?
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle, if it isn't Mr. Mattress.
Oh, hi, Mrs. Jones, I just...
My son loves your class.
Well, I feel the same way about, Joe. He's great.
Actually, it's Jake, and he has a great mentor.
Yeah.
He really loves your class. He comes home every day excited about it.
As nice as
I keep telling him, I'm glad it's the last class of the day. If he had that horrible English teacher after you instead of before you, he'd come home crying every day.
Look, Mrs. Jones, if you don't mind...
I keep telling him he should be in one of those plays you put on. But he says he's just so busy, what with all his schoolwork and everything.
I should go.
Please don't.
Were you in that play last semester?
Yeah, I was, but...
I thought you looked familiar. I'm probably not the first person to tell you this, but you were amazing.
Thanks, that means a lot.
You sure know how to pick them, Mr. Mattress.
Yeah, I'm great at picking students.
Look at the time. Jake's soccer practice is almost over. I'd better be on my way. It was nice to meet you, miss.
I should go too.
But the food! You didn't finish!
That's okay.
Daniela, please don't go.
I see no reason to stay.
I can think of a million reasons for you to stay.
Now that student you hate is here, and there are too many people. I think I better leave. Goodbye, Gary.
Thus concludes This Is Not Based on a True Story, written by Lauren Stein and produced by Jen Moore at CFRU 93.3 FM. Music featured A Minute 24 of Jazz by Alex Liberatore, You by Emily Kopp Smith, and Sober by Sarah Kesham. This has been the latest installment of No Soap Radio. Thanks for listening, and please tune in to the other, much better stories.
Hello, welcome to the latest installment of No Soap Radio, entitled Amore et Café, starring Scott Armstrong as Renard, as Ariana Sumbler narrates.
clock chimes 12 as someone cries tonight. A tale of fate, it will unwind, I promise. Someone dies tonight. Silenced, so that all is blind. Mademoiselle Moon reigns through crimson-colored night, mauve and cyber-colored skies. Through his mind, there leaps a cursed blight. A secret harlot, full of lies.
Oh, poor sweet Renard. How he looks despaired tonight, as he flips through the pages of poetry he's written over the years, and reads aloud his most recent verses to anyone who cares to listen. The smell of cinnamon perfume and latte on the boil, the whispers and echoes from behind aging walls, it's enough to drive a man mad. There used to be baguettes and croissants baking golden brown in the oven when she was here. She'd awaken from his arms in the early morning and cook up a storm. She'd boil coffees from around the globe and tenderly kiss him as she poured another cup. I wonder what she's doing now, or perhaps what she did last night while Renard sat alone in Comptoir Francois, polishing off a few shots of bitter whiskey and no doubt thinking of her. Of cinnamon perfume and golden curls, of blue doe eyes, lily-white skin and strawberry lips. A goddess named Angeline, in her gold-digging cabaret ways, picking the pocket of some poor innocent fool. She should have thought twice about digging her petite manicure fingernails into his pocket. There won't be any gold there, m'lady, but a heap of cold fish. Look how he still paces. I wonder if she'll call. Oh, how he loved her. How could she break the dear man's heart? If only he knew. Methinks he does. But I can assure you, though, mes chérie, someone will cry tonight. He hasn't blinked since sunset and keeps a constant glower to the clock in the damp streets. I suddenly feel very afraid. This is not my sweet Renard. Yes, he knows now.
She who dares to bruise his heart, Pandora's box with holds no hope. Two worlds will soon be torn apart. Fated, she cannot elope. His anger, she cannot understand. For crimes of lust, she must be aware.
There comes a knock at the door. Renard doesn't even turn to look as he continues with his gloomy fables of love. I do so take great fondness to hear him speak, even through the dreary fog that's taken over his soul.
Entrez!
His voice, it's suddenly so dry and hoarse. That coffee must have gone to waste. She enters. It's Angeline. She shouldn't have come. Not now, not now. He knows all too well what you have done, mademoiselle. How beautiful she looks. How her blonde curls tumble down like a waterfall of gold. How sweet. She brings roses. The white rose of apology and forgiveness. Bad choice, ma chérie. She has guilt painted all over her, especially those strawberry lips.
Ma chère Renard.
She embraces him now and croons in her soft, angelic voice. He looks on expressionless as he pours the stale cold coffee into a chipped cup, pours in some souring cream and a pinch of salt.
Voici un café, ma belle amour.
Mm-hmm. You're a clever one, Renard. I see what you're telling her. Though she looks confused.
Non, merci.
Il est très délicieux, n'est-ce pas? Angeline. Bois.
He forces it into her hands. She frowns and nervously takes a sip. He smiles as she winces at the taste. Yes, you are a clever one, Renard. And such a sense of humor.
Ton visage, il est pâle. Es-tu malade?
No.
She moves towards him again and presses a lusty kiss on his cheek. She kicks off her high heels and pulls him towards his bedchamber. A strange redness crosses his face, and his eye twitches. He thrusts her into the wall and kisses her fiercely. She looks afraid.
Renard, allez! Ne faites pas ça, s'il vous plaît.
She pushes him away this time. Ah, sassy little harlot, make up your mind. I'm sure he's thinking the same. Then comes another knock at the door. A polite tap, tap, tap. Angeline runs to open it, all too eagerly for her own good. Lo and behold, Master Logan. A wonderful man who creates such life with his own hands. I have him to thank for my everything. And the gentleman that he is, there is a bottle of shimmering Chardonnay in his hands. Renard's grim face brightens eerily at the sight of him.
Bonsoir, Monsieur Carrard. Café?
He picks up the cup of neglected coffee.
Non, non. Merci, Renard.
Oh, he smiles so eloquently, Master Logan. He approaches me and cradles me in his loving arms. He points to a small chip on my lower lip. Renard nods as he twists open the bottle vigorously. The Chardonnay fizzles and shrieks out of the open mouth as Angeline shrinks into the dark room chamber. She looks very worried. Master Logan sees her from the corner of his eye and lights up.
Angeline!
She bites her lip as she shrinks further back. He smiles and runs to hug her.
Ma petite chérie, quelle surprise!
He customarily kisses her on either cheek and touches her dainty chin amorously. Renard still holds to the eerie grin as he swigs back some of the Chardonnay straight from the bottle. La petite harlotte, she trips to the door now and grasps the knob. All right, Renard, do what you will. She seduced my master, kisses and caresses him, something I can never do. I do envy what she has with a hot hatred. Do it now. Renard pulls a silver silencer from his coat pocket and aims it at her pretty little golden head.
Renard? Logan!
The clock chimes one. We know, my dear. The tale unfolds a harlot's fate. A secret streak and crystal tear. Thus poison love turns damned to hate.
The final pages lay open on the cold floor below me. As I gaze into his book of shadows, the secret assassin wrote the murder in black ink before my very eyes. He planned this. God, he planned it all. Master Logan weeps over her, hands digging in her hair vainly. He does not know what to do, either out of fear or misery. I lie shattered on the floor as Master Logan threw me as he ran to her. To her. Don't cry, my love. You were just another on her list of conquest. I love you even as a shattered china doll. I still love you more than anyone ever will.
This concludes Amore et Café, written by Ariana Sumbler and produced by Jen Moore at CFRU 93.3 FM. Music featured includes Ignatius La Politique and Les Pires Dancing with Jean Maurice from the album Cuisine Nonstop on Luwaka Bop Records. Tune in again for the next episode of No Soap Radio on CFRU 93.3 FM. Thanks for listening.